The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Won't dig for ya.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. Happy. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. Happy.
I think it was fantastic.
1918. What does it mean? 1918. What does it mean?
I sleep on the recliner.
86 years.
Now that song will be in my head for the rest of the day.
Yes, it will. Hooky as hell.
Yeah.
That
1918.
What does it mean?
86 years.
And it wouldn't have been as hooky if it was like a good singer. It's the laziness of the voice that actually kind of like drills it into your brain.
Remember he called us and said, I'll play the acoustic version if you want.
No.
I don't recall that.
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Called us on the phone.
And we said no to that?
No. We said yes. He played it. Yeah.
I did not know that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
It obviously was so overwhelming.
Great moments in the Touch of Richard. Nobody in the other room remembers that.
Really? It happened.
Maybe you dreamt it.
That could have happened, too.
You played it at your wedding.
Yeah.
86 years.
Right after Sweet Caroline.
86 years.
That's what they should play instead of Sweet Caroline. Everyone says there needs to be a replacement. Just have that really lazily sung version.
Bottom of the eighth inning. Every home game, sure.
Without a doubt. I wouldn't mind that. Whatever gets rid of that dumb Sweet Caroline, that would be fine with me.
Jamelli's got on his dad's hat. Mm-hmm. Jamelli in 2020. Jamelli not at my house yesterday.
What?
He never came to my house.
Oh.
He never came over to my house. He never took care of any of the situation that he said he would.
Oh, that's a bummer because I would have loved to have had him record something yesterday.
Yeah, he just never showed up.
Oh, okay.
He I got this cool bike and he never showed up. He just decided to never called, never showed up. It was just kind of like, I'm going to blow this whole thing off.
Now, did you think Fred was like joking or was this something that you intended on doing it and just something happened or what?
Well, to be honest, when it came to that yesterday, I was just waiting for Fred to give me a heads up when he was ready for me to come over.
You never
asked. I
wasn't
just going to show up.
Never asked when you should come over.
I asked you that yesterday, yes.
And I said, come over.
Okay, well, I was waiting for a text being like, hey, you can feel free to come over. I wasn't just going to show up.
Well, no, you could have texted me and said, hey, is it okay if I come over?
Well, I apologize, Fred. I did get caught up with some stuff yesterday.
But oh, yeah? What was that?
I still could have
counted. What was that? You're relieving your heart valve or something? What was happening?
Yeah, a little maintenance on the heart.
No, what did you get all caught up in?
Well, it was just like, I'm going away this weekend, so I'm just doing laundry. And
yeah, on and, a Tuesday? Where are you going this weekend?
I'm going to Nantucket.
Oh, wow. So you really had to prepare.
Yeah. Well, it's for a wedding, so.
Yeah. So you had to. So what did your day consist of, getting ready for the wedding in Nantucket?
Jeez, like running errands, going to the dry cleaners, doing laundry, and, you know, normal
things. Okay, what time did you get home?
I got home around, like, noon.
Okay. What time did you go to bed?
I went to bed around, like, 9.
All right, so you had 10 hours.
Yes.
And so that was how much you had to do wash and dry cleaning. How long are you going to be in Nantucket for?
For Friday through Sunday.
Oh, wow. So that's like 3 hours for every day that you're going to be there.
Right.
That's what you had to do?
So can you guys just like set up a time now that you guys can meet up?
I have a baseball game that I have to leave my house at 3:45. But okay. other than that, I'm around, baby.
All right, I'll come after the show today. Right after the show today.
Okay, right after the show.
Yes,
you'll come.
Yes,
and you'll put it. You're gonna put it together. You're gonna take it to the bike shop.
No, I'll put it together. I'm sure it's not that difficult. How many pieces?
I don't know, Nick. I didn't open it up. I don't want to lose anything.
Okay.
You might want to bring over tools.
All right, then I have to go back home.
Are you getting paid for this?
No.
Are you going to do something nice for him? Like, you know, get him a Vermont teddy bear or something like that?
Yeah. No, I'll pay for his dry cleaning, apparently. It's quite a bill.
I didn't say it was expensive to do dry cleaning.
No, but it just, I would like my days to be filled up with having to go to the dry cleaner. That was the entire day for me. No, I'm not paying him. He volunteered to do it. He volunteered right away. I didn't ask him to do it.
Well, you get what you pay for, apparently.
Yeah.
How much do you suggest I pay him?
No, I just didn't know if you were going to do something nice for him since he's putting it together or there was some sort of agreement. Because it is kind of strange that someone would just randomly come over and do a tedious task like put together a bike or furniture.
That's what he wants
to
do.
Now I feel weird doing this.
It is weird.
All right, fine. I don't want to do it.
If there was like an agreement or something, like, okay. Or,
thanks, no. Rich.
I was just being nice because he was talking about, you know, he has to put together this bike. And I was like, hey, I'll put it together for you. But I didn't mean it in a weird way or anything. So
I never said it was weird.
No, I just don't.
Just saying it's weird.
No, I'm saying maybe it's weird that you're being chastised for doing something completely for free and not doing it yesterday and there not being anything together. Maybe that's the weirdness of it.
But, well, I mean, if you say you're going to do something and then you don't do it, I don't know why that's odd of me to question why you didn't do it. But then again, you had a lot of laundry to do. I mean, I can't tell you what.
I'm not.
I mean, laundry takes forever.
That is not my excuse for not coming over. I'm just saying that, you know. We didn't set a time or anything like that. And I thought you were just going to text me with the address and stuff and then I would head over.
Well, it's the same address that I've had for over eight years.
I've only been there once.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Very good. I'll see you today.
See you today.
Right after the show.
And then we get to see the sweet tricks. Is that when we get to see the videos?
Yeah, probably. Depends. I mean, he's no Glenn Friedman. I don't know how he's going to shoot my iconic photos of what I'm doing. But apparently that's going to happen today.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. So yesterday you had the Red Sox, Jackie Bradley Jr., again, the unlikely hero. And then you had the Celtics,
mm-hmm.
who played. They definitely played.
Yeah, they looked awesome. I mean, they're just a deep team. That's the one thing is that they're not going to be. It's going to be tough to stop those guys when you have a game where Kyrie Irving is essentially missing in action and Gordon Hayward is going to take a while to get good, and they still end up beating the 76ers by almost 20 points. This team's going to be good for a while. By the way, speaking of that, we should mention it right here at the beginning of the show. We have that suite to give away
yep.
to an upcoming Celtics game. So this is a really big prize. You and 17 friends could be in a suite at the TD Garden for an upcoming game. And the way we're going to give that away is that at some point during today's show, we will play the clip of Fred hanging up on Rick Pitino. When you hear that, be caller 18 to the contest line, which is 617-931-0985. Once again, that's the contest line, 617-931-0985. And you and 17 friends, if you can find 17 friends, are going to take
you
a box.
You can stand to the sight of for that length of time.
Right. Are going to go to the TD Garden to see an upcoming Celtics game. On top of that, hey, it's the beginning of Mike Gorman. It's our first hit of the season with him, which should be nice.
And we're going to have Guy from Machine?
Yep, we will have Guy from Machine as well.
Everyone loves Guy from Machine. And so that's all will be coming up. Rich, a lot happening in the world of Boston sports last night. What will we get to?
We will start with the Red Sox. And on top of that, a little bit of controversy coming from the Astros. Cheating, possibly?
Oh, that's right. The use of modern equipment to try to see what's doing. I've noticed that they've filled the walls here at the new station with sports memorabilia. So you know when you come in here that...
Station.
Yeah, there's a sports station.
Yep.
Signed sports memorabilia. Mm-hmm. All right, we will return in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Thatcher and Rich.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. And Rich, what happened last night?
What happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary. The Astros had been 10-1 at Minute Maid Park since the start of last year's postseason. They are now 10-2.
There's a drive into left field. That one going to stay fair. Pierce is watching, and this one is fair. Back on top go the Red Sox. Steve Pierce launches one out of here to make it 3-2 Boston.
Oh, Alex Bregman, you should have never made that Instagram video mocking the Red Sox. Instant karma. You knew you were going to get it, just like Aaron Judge. Sox.
How about Pierce? We had AAA for the Cardinals early in the season. Now he's Captain Stretch.
He's bounced around a lot.
Yes, and he's got the finest stretch in all of baseball.
Yep.
Well, the Sox.
He's laying flat,
splits.
Doing splits. He's got it all. He's stretching all over the place.
Well, the Sox lay a beat down on the Astros 8-2 and now lead the series 2-1. We had a close one until Roberto Osuna entered the game in the eighth inning with his team down 3-2. Osuna started fine, retiring J.D. Martinez to open the inning, and then Xander Bogaerts getting out at second after a Steve Pierce fielder's choice. But when Rafael Devers got an 0-2 pitch for a base hit, Osuna started to break. First, he grazed Brock Holt's foot with an 0-2 pitch, which loaded the bases. And then, with two strikes, he hit Mitch Moreland on the arm to score a run. And then we got this moment, which, Fred, get the meat slicer ready, because here comes a salami explosion.
Bradley Jr., a high fly ball to right. Reddick is at the wall. Can only watch a great
only watch
slam.
That salami.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Only can watch it.
A knockout punch here in the eighth. 8-2.
You know you're
seven
on fire.
RBIs for JBJ in the last
JBJ
two games.
Takes the deep.
Look at that Red Sox dugout.
Yeah, when he tees off on you, Jackie Bradley Jr., it's time to just back up and
by the way, two things. Brian Anderson did that in the first game where Gurriel hit that three-run shot down the right field line, and he said, that's a knockout punch. Okay, click. You know, all right, I'm going to turn the game off.
And well, I mean,
knockout punches the top of the eighth inning. All right, click.
Well, I mean, 8-2 in the top of the eighth. I think that's basically over.
In theory, you would like everyone to watch the remainder of the game, would you not?
Well, he was right. What would be the point?
I mean. No, he's right. He's right. And good for. And Alex Cora said after game two, Jackie Bradley Jr. had found something in his swing. He's right. It was a big hit.
Well, the Astros.
Two big hits in a row.
The Astros have now lost two games in a row for the first time since August. So here is Alex Cora afterwards.
We prepare, we play, and then we turn the page. And they don't get caught up in the moment. I do feel that that ALDS, we grew up as a team going to game three. The sky was falling in Boston. You know, it seems like all of a sudden, you know, we weren't good.
There was a cool moment, however, with David Ortiz. Did you see this? The cameras were rolling in studio when he was watching there with his little headset on, watching the game before his analysis at the end. And this is what happens in studio as he's watching the Jackie Bradley Jr. Grand Slam.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Oh. sexy! Oh, sexy! Oh! 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 Come on, baby! That's what I'm talking about! Come on, bro! Come on, bro! Come on, bro!
Ortiz just starts flipping out.
What was he on?
FS1.
FS1, yeah, studio show, FS1.
So he wasn't on the TBS?
No, he was on FS1, and it was they were covering the National game, or the National League
doing
game.
NLCS.
Yeah,
okay.
so he was sitting there just screaming, losing his mind, and it was at Frank Thomas that he grabbed and like gave a headlock to?
Yeah, I think Thomas did not seem to like it. Right? No.
He did not seem to enjoy the enthusiasm for Mr. David Ortiz, but there was this story that broke yesterday in the Metro Boston by a guy who has the most ridiculously strong Boston accent I've ever heard in my life, Mr. Danny Picard, but good for him for making this national story public. There may have been some cheating going on by the Astros in game one of this series on Saturday night. So the Boston Red Sox were warned by that a man who had credentials from the Houston Astros might try to steal signs or information from their dugout after the Cleveland Indians caught him taking pictures of their dugout with a cell phone camera during Game 3 of the ALDS. So now there's photographs that are out there, and there was one that Yahoo put on their website that showed a guy named Kyle MacLachlan, shout out to Twin Peaks, aiming a cell phone into Cleveland's dugout during the Indians' 11-3 loss at the end of their season. MacLachlan was also the same man caught taking pictures near the Red Sox dugout during Game 1 of the ALCS, and if you'd seen the picture, he's like standing right where the camera well is, where the cameras are, and he's in a suit, and it looks like he's got a credential, and he's just sitting there with his cell phone looking like making a video or taking pictures. MacLachlan was removed by security in Cleveland and Boston, sources said. Now, the Astros were described as initially uncooperative when the security team questioned this guy. An industry source told the Boston Globe that Major League Baseball's investigation concluded that the Astros guy, this guy MacLachlan, was trying to determine if the Red Sox were using dugout video monitors to steal signs from the Astros. Now, while MacLachlan's not listed publicly as an Astros employee, there are photos on his Instagram, or were rather, because they've been deleted since then.
This is the suspicious part. If he has nothing to hide, he's deleted all traces of his connection to Houston.
Yeah, so there was one photo of him wearing an Astros ID badge as he posed for a picture in 2016 with Astros owner Jim Crane. In another photo, this guy MacLachlan is standing next to a private plane with logos for the Astros and two companies that are owned by Crane, Crane Worldwide Logistics and Crane Capital Group. MacLachlan also removed, quote, Houston Astros from his biography on his Instagram page last night as well. So according to reports, since baseball pretty much knew about this, they significantly beefed up its security presence yesterday at the game, sending three people from its baseball operations office and another six security personnel to monitor the game. They stationed an employee in each of the team's video review rooms just to make sure there was no shenanigans. But this is not the first investigation into the Astros' attempts to gain any kind of competitive advantage this season, reportedly. During a late August game against Oakland, there were A's players who noticed that Astros players were clapping in the dugout before pitches, and they believe they were relaying stolen signs to pitchers in the batter's box, sources said. The A's also called the league, which said it would investigate the matter. It's unclear what the result of this investigation was or whether it remains ongoing. And also, two major league players said that they have witnessed the Astros hitting a trash can in the dugout in recent years and believe it was a way to relay signals to hitters. The Dodgers.
This is a very, very, very long story.
It is, and you know,
but it's interesting. It's like they have a track record of doing this, and they've been.
But ultimately, it's not against the rules to steal signs. It is, however, as the Red Sox found out last year with the Apple Watch scandal, against the rules to use technology to do it. Well, and that's the thing. Major League Baseball only fined the Red Sox, I think, and I was looking it up earlier this morning. The fine was donated to hurricane relief efforts in Florida. But the situation, according to the New York Daily News, is this. MLB did not issue any suspension to take any draft picks away from the Red Sox, but they warned all 30 clubs that future violations could warrant this type of punishment. So with the Red Sox being used as an example, shouldn't the Astros be more heavily punished for using a cell phone to steal signs this time.
I just remember John Farrell being completely incredulous afterwards. He goes, I got on my Apple Watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, but the Sox are guilty of this. So is every Major League Baseball team. The key is how it's done.
And the key is also just how stupid this guy from the Astros is. I mean, how blatant.
After getting caught in Cleveland, you would think, okay, Major League Baseball is on to me. Maybe right. I should stop doing this.
Like four or five games earlier, he got busted. And the picture, Fred, is him standing right next to
the cameras. I've seen the picture.
Yeah, holding his phone. No, just pointing it right at the dugout, wearing a credential. So, I mean, they couldn't be any more stupid or blatant about any of this.
And then erasing all traces of you and your connection to the team looks three times as guilty.
Sure.
I mean, come on.
Well, Cora's got to be aware of this. If this has been going on for years,
that's true
they
too.
Said, I mean,
yep.
he's got to obviously understand that, you know, that these guys are, and this is something they've been doing, and I'm sure that they weren't dumb enough to give away any kind of signals. And I know that yesterday they were doing a couple interviews with these guys, and they said, if we pick up on that anyone might possibly have a hint of just like figuring out what we're calling, we have many ways that we can immediately shake it up and try to
Major League Baseball team.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the fact that they actually had to, you know, comment on this, and the fact that the Astros seem to have been tattled on several times this year is interesting, including the Dodgers, by the way, who are obviously still in it. So, but they've got more issues with cheating on their own, including Manny Machado cleating guys once again, as Dustin Pedroia was been well aware of last year. So this is going to be an interesting series. So there we go. They're up three games. What time is the first pitch? 8 o'clock. Are we back to
8 o'clock tonight? Yep.
All right, up three games to one or two games to one rather. Yeah. They're gonna play tonight 8 o'clock. Another late night for all of us. Let's hope it's another 4.5 hour one.
Awesome. Yeah. First inning yesterday was a full on hour.
How late was the Dodgers game? That was like a 5 hour game, right?
That was over. It's 5:15, I think. It was 13 innings.
The first inning started
at 9, by the way.
Yeah, the first inning of the Red Sox game yesterday was 45 minutes.
Dan's telling me that it might be 8:39 tonight.
I think tonight's first pitch is closer to 8:40 than it is
great.
8 o'clock.
Spectacular.
I'm sorry to say that.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, there's no way I'm watching the whole game. I mean, it's just a matter of
Red Sox Astros game 4 today, 8:39 p.m.
Oh, God.
It's just not happening. Even the wall.
Now
man,
the Dodgers get that early game at 5 o'clock,
yeah, so
which
now
is at 2 o'clock.
No, the wall man's gonna even. He's got even take inventory.
Who programmed that? So the Dodgers have a 2 o'clock game their time.
Yes, they get the afternoon game because there's the night game yesterday.
All right. Well,
you're right. I'm gonna really have to take stock and see if I can pull this one.
Well, wall game. I listen. You'll get up at 2 a.m. and you'll start. You'll start going through everything. All right. The Celtics played last night. We'll discuss that. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
985 to Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning for your chance to score a private suite for you and 17 friends to see the Celtics take on the Magic this Monday, October 22nd at the Garden. Be a part of the best home court advantage in the NBA. Secure your tickets by visiting Celtics.com/tickets. When you hear me hang up on Rick Pitino, be caller number 18, the Sports Hub contest line at 617-931-0985 to win.
It is always a great time when you start your season off with a Geno time.
In the corner, Jaylen Brown up fakes on Embiid. Now going to drive baseline, draws a second man, swings to Rozier, around the horn, Kyrie to Baines. Up fakes, bounce pass, Baines into Kyrie, switches to the left hand and lays it in.
Now that's good stuff. That is when you play the game the right way, when you make pancakes the right way. People just run out. I have some of those.
First call of the season, first mention of food by Cedric Maxwell.
People know immediately when you're making pancakes the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be looking over your shoulder, and then they'll go, you know what? Those look like they're made the right way, and then they'll come running.
They're very easy to mess up, pancakes, so you know if they're made right.
It's very difficult. There's three ingredients, and then you got to properly pour them on the griddle.
Well, the Celtics blew out the 76ers in the league opener last night, 105-87. It was the first game since the ankle injury that would sideline him for a year that Gordon Hayward would play. And after all the videos on The Athletic documenting his rehab, after all the gender reveal Instagram posts, after all the League of Legends commercials showing Gordon Hayward as a fire-breathing demigorgon, it was finally time to play.
Boston by 5, 66-61. Gordon Hayward gets free at the elbow and knocks down another jumper. His third of the night in 7 tries.
That's a nice little play. The sudden little pick for him to come off, and this time comes off wide open.
Yeah, 10 points, 4 of 12 shooting in his first game back, and that's pretty much what we're going to expect out of him as he gets his legs back underneath him. So with Gordon barely in double digits and Kyrie missing in action for most of the game, the depth of this team was tested last night, and man, did they pass.
Tatum gets to the cup, right-hand slam, as Embiid and Simmons were in the middle of an argument about who's guarding who, an argument that will continue during this Brett Brown timeout as the Celtics finally get some separation. 8:13 to go in the third quarter on opening night. Boston 61, Philadelphia 47.
So one thing was apparent last night. Right now, on October 17th, 2018, Jason Tatum is by far the best player on this team. Now, that may change with the way Kyrie Irving's going to get healthier and Gordon Hayward, but there is no doubt he's the man on the court.
After one game.
Yeah. Well, no, yes. I'm saying at this moment, he is by far your best player.
No
shot after shot.
Big
Tatum scored 9 of the first
11.
Jackie
Bradley Jr. is the best player on the Red Sox.
No, that's not true.
He was only 1 for 4 yesterday, Frank.
Yeah, but he hit a grand slam.
Steve Pierce is
I mean, he's had basically, he's sealed the last two of the three
not
games.
Not basically, he did. He sealed two of the last three
Jackie
games.
Bradley Jr. is the best player in the Red Sox.
But if you were to start a team and take one player to start a team with right now to play for like the next month, Jackie Bradley Jr. would not be the guy. Off the Celtics, it would be Jason Tatum. For the next month, right now, he is your by far your best player.
I'd say he's an explosive player, and Reggie Miller was gushing all over him the entire night. But if you're asking me to choose one player off that team right now?
For the next month.
For the next month.
That's what I said. Right now, he is by far your best player.
Okay, using these qualifiers, you are correct.
Okay, because Kyrie eventually will end up getting there.
Yes.
And he will end up being the best. But he is still, once again, recovering from his surgery. Well, Tatum was great. He scored 9 of the first 11 shots of the game. And when no one could hit anything, he finished with 23 and even embarrassed Joel Embiid a few times. Speaking of that, I have been dying to hear what Cedric Maxwell said during the following play by Jaylen Brown. I have not heard this yet. Here we go.
92-79, but here comes Jaylen Brown flying through everybody over Joel Embiid. He slams it home.
Oh, who's your daddy?
Roadkill. Joel Embiid has to pick himself up off the floor.
Okay, just a little bit of a fade out.
There's no
after
food.
Some grunts. Yeah. No, just who's your daddy?
Obviously was very satisfied, satiated at that game. The opening night, they put a good spread out.
Well, Jaylen goes for the tomahawk dunk over Embiid. Embiid gets his fingers on it, yet it still goes in. Embiid falls to the floor and then gets the death stare by Jaylen Brown.
All right. Can I just say one thing?
What's that?
You can get the death stare if you actually flush it over him.
But oh,
when
come
he tips
on.
It and you have to
him.
Bank it home. He banked in a dunk.
But he still got it in. He still
powered
it in. Yeah,
I know, but it's kind of like...
I love how people are trying to dismiss
Dwight Howard. It's kind of like during the dunk competition, he did posterize him. It's kind of like Dwight Howard during the dunk competition put on the cape and jumped over a car and didn't really dunk it. He kind of threw it in.
No, yeah. The fact that Embiid got knocked to the ground by him after it went in, that was
fun.
That was great.
You're saying it's not a textbook poster.
No, he didn't dunk it. Embiid played as good a defense as you could play in a situation
like
that.
No, he didn't. If he would have played as good as he could, it would have blocked a shot.
All right. Okay.
Am I wrong?
No, I'm just
saying you're wrong.
Yeah. I don't think I'm wrong here. Well, I think that ultimately, if you're going to dunk the ball, dunk the ball. Don't bank it in. That's all.
All right.
If you're gonna give the death stare, you're going to say in your face, They don't make posters out of hitting
bank
one off
shots.
The back.
No, yeah. They don't.
But the best thing about all that, John, it was that moment gave birth to the pick on Joel Embiid quarter at the TD Garden. Because then
true.
For like the next 5 minutes, that's when you heard, you saw Jason Tatum do the stare down after he
banked in a shot from straight away. By the way.
He did the dunk when the lane was wide open.
Okay,
and then he did the stare at him in the wind.
He went one-on-one with Embiid and then faded away. And because Embiid is so damn big, he had to lob it over him and banked it in from straight away.
And I forgot who did it, but there was like a steal immediately afterwards. It might have even been like Hayward who stole the ball from him, or maybe it was Al Horford.
Yeah. No,
and then there was another like block shot. It was just for like a period of about 5 minutes
credit.
After that.
He was contrite afterwards. They asked him about the rivalry.
Well, the bench was phenomenal as well. Marcus Morris had 16 points and 10 rebounds. Zero is a plus 22 on the night. Great way to start off the season. Here's Gordon Hayward on his first game back.
Like I said, I think when I first started, when going through warm-ups, just running out on the court, for sure was having some flashbacks of it. But once I got playing, I didn't think about it.
Also, Kyrie, his game was off last night. He was missing in action for a lot of the game, and he was asked about it afterwards.
Nah, I mean, when you can't make a damn shot, you know, spread the wealth, you know. So, you know, guys were making shots. I think I could have delivered a lot better in certain areas, but, you know, get my rhythm back as we continue to go on through the season. So,
and I love Joel Embiid, not only because, obviously, what you saw on the floor last night, but he's also extremely funny when he comes to his comments and trash-talking and post-game. And yesterday, he was asked about the rivalry between the Celtics and the 76ers, and he said, there ain't no damn rivalry.
Man, JJ mentioned it earlier, this is not a rivalry. I don't know why I record against them, but it's pretty bad. They always kick our ass, so this is not a rivalry. And JJ mentioned that earlier, so we just got to, you know, work together and figure it out. But Jason, like I said, he's special.
I like that he goes, I don't know our record against them, but it's pretty bad. They always kick our ass. Well, since he's been there, the record is 3-11. Philly is against Boston since he started. So,
well, one quick thing about the rivalry. Ben Simmons is obviously phenomenal in the open floor, and he looked great last night. But he spent zero time working on his outside shot. You would think maybe a full off season after seeing what glaring weakness he has, maybe he'd put up a few shots from the
considering
perimeter.
Considering he can get from the free throw line to the rim with one step.
He can, but I think it would benefit the team if there was at least a threat that he could shoot from further than 10 feet away.
I don't know. If I'm a 6'11 point guard, I'm not overly concerned with my jump shot.
You know what, though? That team, they have six players and then nothing. Like, their bench is just dead. The guys that they would try to rotate in, I mean, they have six players. And on top of that, and Simmons was great. And he's going to obviously be better than what you saw.
Do we count J.J. Redick as a bench player?
He's one of the six. I consider him like one of the six.
I like T.J. McConnell and the role that he plays a lot, too. But, yeah, it's true.
It's Saric. So you got Saric. You've Saric got McConnell.
Starts, yeah.
You've got Simmons, Covington. You don't even count really Markelle Fultz right now because, you know, he got out there and how many points did he end up
five.
Having? Yeah, 5 points.
Yeah.
And we don't know what Markelle Fultz is going to be. But right now, whereas you look at the Celtics.
Oh, it's not a contest.
I mean, it's ridiculous how deep that bench is. So next up, the Celtics fly to Toronto to take on the new Kawhi Leonard-led Toronto Raptors. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And as a reminder, Mike Gorman joins us at 8:20 for his first hit of the season. And as Fred mentioned, when you hear him hang up on Rick Pitino during our show today, be caller 18 to the contest line at 617-931-0985, and you can win an entire suite for you and 17 friends to an upcoming Celtics game.
All right, here we'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Guerra on 3-2 to Bellinger. Here's the pitch. Ground ball, base hit into right field. The Toronto's on his way home. Throw to the plate, and the Dodgers will win it. They win it 2-1, and the series is all even at 2 games apiece.
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich be listening this morning right before 7 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to Fight Night Boston, featuring three title bouts headlined by Demetrius Andrade this Saturday at the TD Garden. Purchase tickets today at Ticketmaster.com or by visiting the TD Garden box office.
And so as you heard right there, the Dodgers tie things up, and that is not the play that people are going to be talking about, or at least the win. They're going to be discussing something dirty that happened once again, stemming from a play by Manny Machado.
Left side hit hard right at Arcia. 2-0. Aguilar and Machado got tangled up at the back. And George Lombard's going to come in and break it up. And Kratz gets into it, and now the bench is empty and nothing really is going on.
Yeah, so Aguilar's got his right foot on the bag, obviously, as he's trying to get the out, and Machado just comes and basically kicks with his left foot, kicks his leg, and of course the bench is clear, and now there is all this talk about dirty play, and Machado was asked about it afterwards.
I mean, you saw the replay probably, so his foot was on the bag, trying to get over him, hit his foot. That's dirty. I mean, I don't call it what you want.
Yeah, it's dirty as hell. It could have been avoided easily. You kicked his foot.
But then Machado in the 13th inning with a miraculous slide that allows the Dodgers to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a tale of two Machados.
It was. And Christian Yelich, who after the game was asked about what happened with Manny Machado, obviously not a big fan of the way he plays.
He's a player that has a history of those types of incidents. You know, one time's an accident, repeated over and over and over again. You're just a dirty player. It's a dirty play by a dirty player, and that's what it is. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him as a player, but you can't respect someone who plays the game like that.
And after that, he walked off, and according to reporters, was just saying, F that guy, F Manny Machado.
No, that's unnecessary to use those words.
You can't swear as a grown man.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You got to walk away, and you got to say, kibble sticks.
And then...
what do you have to say?
I've heard fiddlesticks. Kibble sticks.
Kibble sticks. All right.
Yeah, yeah. He's full of beans, that guy.
Or sticks made of kibble.
Yeah. Kibbles and bits.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
The dog treat.
Well, one guy who seems to be over it all is the guy whose ankle got kicked. Here's Aguilar.
Got so many people mad in the team. I mean, they don't agree with what he did, but it's just the game. It's just the game. You know, he was wrong. We already talked. We're good now.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. A little bit of anger and hatred between all of them, and the series is tied up, which I have not watched 1 second of that series yet, other than the replays.
They had a early game one time that I watched.
I didn't even get to see any of that.
Yeah. I mean, really, that game started at 9 o'clock Eastern time and went 5 hours.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Good God.
Yeah, 5 hours and 15 minutes? Is that what you were saying?
13 innings. Man. A lot of pitching changes. I think there were 16 pitchers last night.
I think this was the first morning that it all kind of started to catch up, like from Sunday night. And then last night with, you know, after the Celtics game, I think everything's kind of like, all right, that's a lot. And
just
and
in time for an 8:35 start to see that.
You can't be expected to watch an 8:35 baseball game. I mean, that's going to end at past midnight.
Easily.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's going to be on the shorter side. You're going to hit 4 hours.
Especially if it's close. I mean, if the final score is 11-1, then you get a shot. But, I mean, a 2-2 game in the eighth inning?
Houston's got to win this game.
Yes.
So they're going to pull out everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be working that bullpen constantly.
Yeah, at the first sign of trouble. Morton's pitched really well this year, but if he gets into trouble in the second inning, gone.
And then out. They could use every single person in their bullpen and then some. So, don't look for that to end anytime soon. You can read a nice recap in the newspaper. You know, at that point, what's
the old fish wrap?
The old fish. What is up with the fish wrap? Wrapping. What else, Rich?
And then finally, something that unfortunately I think we're going to have a moment of silence for, because something that is iconic and has brought smiles to all of our faces is now unfortunately gone. And that would be the unbelievable. If I had to say there was one thing in baseball, something so wonderful that whenever a home run was hit, it would trigger joy for everyone who was in the arena, what would you say that is?
Oh, that's the monument to Marlins Park.
Are you talking about the big thing that made all the music and the Dolphins?
The turquoise monstrosity, sure.
Guess what? That sucker is officially gone.
Thank God for Derek Jeter.
Gone.
Good for you, Jeter.
No more of this.
There's no more fun. It had a Caribbean vibe. It was like taking a trip to the islands, man.
You should have read the 9,000 word article that the Miami Herald had about what a pain in the ass it was to get this away from the outfield. Because it was, I guess, they signified it a piece of art. They had to go through all of these different art councils. They interviewed the guy who was the sculptor, the person who made this thing, and he was like, it is not the same. You do not take the Mona Lisa out of the Louvre.
Yeah, yeah, the sculptor. If you like it so much, put it in your backyard.
Seriously. If I own something, like if I buy a Picasso and I want to pee all over it, that's my prerogative. why can't I get rid of something I own? Just here, it's gone.
It is going to be moved out to the front of the park.
It's going to be moved out to the classiest house in the
front
world.
Next to the fountain
of a cherub being.
They're going to put it at the front of the ballpark?
And for some weird reason, like, the artist has the right to say whether or not it could be moved. Like, I mean, Lori is the worst owner. And he was, I guess this dude was a friend of his and gave him all these crazy rights to, like, what you could and could not do with that monstrosity in the outfield. And like in the article, it's like, I know the artist does not want it moved. There has to be a compromise here. How about no, as Fred said. I own the park. I own that stupid piece of art. It's getting the hell out of the outfield because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the artist doesn't seem to be top flight. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to Fight Night Boston, featuring three title bouts headlined by Demetrius Andrade. This Saturday at the TD Garden, purchase tickets today at Ticketmaster.com or by visiting the TD Garden box office. No commercials here, just the headlines.